We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified. We are very glad to have Mariano here. I've considered Mariano a partner in ministry ever since we met, and he's just been a fine brother. I wish I could spend a lot more time with him, but it turns out that at 5,000 or 6,000 miles distant, that's hard to do. So we just have to think of one another and message back and forth once in a while and pray for one another. And we pray whenever we get update letters from you guys and other times. And so we're just very grateful for Mariano and Becky and Enzo. And it has been 10 years since they've been at this place. Now, it doesn't feel that way because they've been up on the cement block wall a couple times being projected up there by Zoom, but not here in the flesh. Yeah, that vacation Bible school. Well, yes, they've been involved in VBS here one time and at a very crucial time in our family's life, which is very special to us years ago in 2010. So very special friends. So we welcome Mariano Proto to the pulpit, and I'm looking forward to what he has for us. A little video and a little report and a little thing from the Word as well. My brother. Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good evening, church family. It's a real blessing to be here. It's been a long time. And 10 years, I mean, I remember we've been here 2010, I believe, somewhere around that time. And then we came in 2015 for VBS, and I will never forget that VBS. That was a good one. One of the things about that VBS I remember real clearly, we just learned a song that week, and that song was the theme for our remaining travel times on deputation. We would go in the car, and Enzo was, seven at that time, probably, 10 years ago. And so he was sitting in the back, and it's like, hey, Dad, let's start worshiping the Lord. I say, okay, so what do you want to sing? Moses, Moses, in the book of Exodus, Moses, Moses. Remember the theme of that year? That was about Moses. I just remember that theme. So, but it was a good time, and we always remember you guys, and we're so grateful for your partnership with us in the ministry. For those that probably do not know us, I think the majority remember us, but just in case if somebody is watching on the way of YouTube or connected later, we are the Proto family. My name is Mariano, and I say how you pronounce it, Mariano. Just in case for those that were on the phone but they're not listening now, I am not the guys that are calling 1-800 number, try to sell you something. That funny accent is not from there, you know. So my accent is from Argentina. I was born and raised in Argentina. And then I came to the States in 2005, where I met my wonderful wife, Becky. She is American. She's from Massachusetts. Don't hold against her that. It's okay. And then we had a son, Enzo. And so when I came here, was a baby, and then he was seven. And now, how old is Enzo now? 17. Wow. So he's looking for colleges already. So that's why we are here. One of the purposes for this trip, come all the way to the Midwest. We don't come to the Midwest because you guys have something called snow. I ran away from the snow. So, but we're here in this time specifically to show Enzo some of the colleges here in America. He is praying about it. This year he's a senior. And so, Lord willing, next year, you know, he will be choosing for a college where to go and study and prepare for life. So one of the prayer requests will be pray for Enzo, you know, big decisions ahead, and so that the Lord will just do something great in his life. Let me just share a few things about the ministry before we watch the video. We are serving the Lord in the country of Uruguay. Why Uruguay? Well, some of you probably know this, some probably of you do not know this, but Uruguay is the most secular country in South America. I would say probably 80% to 90% of the population, they say in their minds and their heart, there is no God. The atheism in Uruguay is pretty big. So when I went to the mission field in 2011, one of the biggest difficulties that we encounter as missionaries was the lack of interest for the gospel. We saw a lot of apathy from the people to receive Christ, to really to hear the gospel. People are very friendly in Uruguay, but they seem not to be interested for spiritual things. As a matter of fact, Uruguay was the first country in South America to pass those three laws right away in 2008. It was marijuana, same-sex marriage, and what was the other one?
Abortion.
And right now they're passing, what do you call it, euthanasia?
Euthanasia.
So they're going very quickly with those laws in the country, and they show basically that there is a great need for the gospel. So we've been serving the Lord there for quite some time already, almost 15 years. We started planting a church in 2016 when we went back to to the country, and we start planting a church in the city of Carmelo. You probably read this. We show in reports before, but we've been there 8 years in Carmelo. The church is already established. We have already a formal membership, and we are right now in the process to training leaders in the church to become eventually probably the pastor of a deacon on the church. And that is a process. That's something that we've been working towards, that training the nationals to just to do as well, like Ephesians chapter 4 said, pastors are given for the training of the saints to do the work of the ministry. So we've been doing that in the latest years, and we are really excited what the Lord is doing, because we were just chatting with Pastor Matt about this. This is the first time that we can be here, and the guys that have been training are doing the work of the ministry in the church. Tonight, somebody's preaching the word. Somebody's been trained for it. On Sunday will be the same. Somebody will be leading the music. Other guys will be playing the music. Other guys will be actually preaching the word of God. So that is a blessing, but we are not there yet. So I just wanted to covet your prayers that the Lord will call men to be in the ministry as well. And so when the Lord will make it evident, those gifts to be in charge of the church over there so that we can move to the next stage. So those are the things that currently we're doing now. I wanted to show you a 2-minute video that we put together. This is basically just to understand a little bit of the country. I will come back after and I will share something more about the building project, something that you probably saw in video presentations that we done in the past, or the prayer letters. So, but I just want to focus on a few things tonight. And then in the remaining time, I just want to share something from the Word that has been an encouragement, and that I wanted to encourage you with this in days ahead. Okay? So, Pastor, if you can just play it, we watch it, and then we just make a few comments.
Carmelo, the city of many opportunities, and especially the city where Jesus needs to be the anchor in people's lives. Hi, my name is Mariano. This is my wife Becky. This is my son Enzo. We are missionaries, church planters in the city of Carmelo, Uruguay. One of the cool things to be a church planter is like working in a vineyard. So why I say that? Well, the Bible talks about working in a vineyard, John chapter 15. So when you work in a vineyard, you get to see the process when you start planting, and then you just maintain the vineyard, you take care of it, and so that's making disciples. You work with the disciples, you help them to grow in Christ, And so in the end, you can see the final projection, all those grapes are going to be fruitful. And so that's what is making disciples, makes it a lot of disciples for the kingdom of God. Right now, the church has been planted. We have a small congregation with established with the membership. And our main goal will be to see in the near future a church that will have their own leadership. And so we're training men in the church. We're seeking, Lord willing, maybe this year or the following year, to establish our first deacon in our church. And eventually, we're praying that the Lord will raise men from the congregation to be the pastor of the church. Ministry here sometimes can be discouraging because you don't see the fruit like in other places that you probably want to see. The people are very atheist here, very secular minded. So they don't show interest for spiritual things.
Our city here in Carmelo has been given to idolatry. As you can see in my surroundings, we have the Greek goddess, and then also we have vineyards, which the idol is the god of wine. And so people are given too much into idolatry here. And so it makes the establishment of the leadership very slowly. When people come to Jesus, they get saved, they get plugged into the church, but they have so much baggage from the past in their lives. And so they still attach into their customs and their beliefs from the past. So it makes the ministry very slow, per se. And so I just covet your prayers that the Lord will allow in us to continue to be faithful, to establish the leadership in the church, and so continue preaching the gospel so that people can know Jesus.
God is saving people. God is doing the work that He promised to do. He will build His church. And so no matter the difficulties, no matter the culture, no matter the language, so God will continue doing what He promised. And He wants to use you and me. Will you join us?
Okay, short, but it was something that highlights a little bit of what we're doing there. And our desire is to plant churches, establish churches, and reproduce churches. Like I said in the presentation, it's been quite a bit of a ride. Sometimes you have expectations. You probably think that the work will go faster. But the most important thing I've been learning as a missionary is just to trust God. And that's the hard part, because that means that you have to just leave everything in the hands in the Lord's hands. And so and that many times is difficult, because we want to do more, but sometimes we have to face the setbacks. Having said this, I have to see that 8 years in the ministry of the church planting in Carmelo, the Lord has blessed us so much. I mean, when we arrived there, it was no church. It was no ascending church. So we were the first one that will say we'd go and preach the gospel. The Lord began to add the souls into the church. And we were meeting in that time in a storefront. And you probably remember this when we shared years past. We were renting a tiny place. And then the Lord began to continue adding the people into the church. And you remember what happened in 2020. Remember that? That year was not forgettable for anybody. I think that the Lord used that time to reveal what it was in our hearts. And I just remember when 2020 came and COVID hit in different places, I always thought, well, what a great opportunity for counseling will be this, because that will reveal what is in our hearts. We don't know how to live together. We don't know how to, you know, deal with difficulties. But in that time, we were having that storefront, and everything stopped. And we were looking to purchase a building in that time, because we were in the need of spending in that time, and we were thinking that would be a good thing for the church to own their own property. And the Lord began to open doors, and the Lord provided all the money that we needed in that time. And when we were ready to sign the bill to get the property, I just remember COVID hit. And the Lord allowing us just to sign the bill, to pay for the building, and all the groups from the States that were going to come and help us out to build this, they were not going to be able to come because everything was shut down in every country. So that's another setback. That's another time that you have to really trust the Lord for what he's doing. And that was a learning time for me because, you know, I like things to be figured out. I like things to just to plan and just, I like the perfect world, like any of us like. But, you know, in Christian life, suffering, you know, Christians are not exempt of that. So how do we deal with suffering? So I just remember going through those years, you know, and this slow by slow time things. People are saying, hey, we can fly. We can go to Uruguay to help you out with the building project. We have a huge property there. We don't have a place to meet. And so, but the point was, okay, Lord, you are in control. You will do something here. Lo and behold, as you remember in the reports, teams start coming into Uruguay, and they were able to build the parsonage. I don't have any pictures with me right now on the video, but if you want to see it, I have it in my phone. They built a wonderful, beautiful parsonage above the property where we have the sanctuary. You know, we have a sanctuary right now that can seat about probably like 70 people, which for us is good. Right now we're in a congregation probably about 45, 50 roughly. Right now, so we have room for spending. We're building another bathroom. We only have one bathroom. Can you imagine? One bathroom. When we started, we didn't have any bathroom. So we bought the property, and we have to rent those portable bathrooms. Can you imagine, ladies, going to a portable bathroom every Sunday? Well, the Lord provided a bathroom for us. And so we just built this multipurpose building with one bathroom. Right now, we're in the process of building the second bathroom. So we're finishing the flooring on the auditorium. You know, we finished it back in March, the siding outside from the front of the church. So we are progressing in different things on the building project. But the main thing to me is, like, the church will grow from inside out. So it's not about the building, it's what it takes place in the building. That's the key aspect. We never should forget this. You know, God is doing great things. God is providing. But at the same time, God is working in people's heart. And so, but that, having said this, we never forget that sometimes in life we will find difficulties. And I would want to use tonight one word because I just want to spend a few minutes on the word. So if you have any questions about the, you know, the ministry, we can talk afterwards, you know, but just Pastor Matt told me 8 o'clock, and I said, well, should we practice like a South American 8 o'clock? Like we'll go the message like an hour, or just I stick to the clock? Becky told me, you are in America, you just obey the pastor. Go 15 minutes, that's it. You know, so I'm going to try to stick with it. Psalm 16, that's what I want to be tonight. Psalm 16. I want to use a word that I learned throughout these years and something that has been an encouragement from the word to me, and I want to be an encouragement to you tonight with this. The question is, have you ever been in a time of transition in your life? Just think about that for a moment. Have you ever been in a time in your life that you went through a transition? What does that mean by transition? Well, I think life is full of transition times. We go to new stages, we go through losses, we go through moves, we go through changes in health or work. And so in every part of life, we have to face transitions. The question is, how do we face them? How do we go through it? Why? Because when we go through transitions in life, those situations that come into our life can bring fear. I don't know how I'm going to face this situation right now. I wasn't expecting to get sick, and now the doctor told me I'm sick and I have to deal with this. I wasn't expecting to lose my job, and now I find out that I have to provide for my family. I don't have a job. Now, I don't know. I have to move another state. I have to go somewhere else because life is moving in that way, so I don't know how I'm going to do this. So that brings fear, that brings anxiety. Sometimes even transitions in life bring despair. You know, and I think all of us as a Christians, we go through transition times. The question is, how do we respond to this? Because that's the key in all things that we do. We want to glorify the Lord. So remember what Paul said in Corinthians, whether we eat, we drink, whatever we do, everything should will glorify the Lord. And I find in this Psalm, Psalm 16, I find David show us how to respond with one word, trust. This is hard. When suffering, transitions, different situations come to our life, to our lives, how do we deal with this? One word, trust. Oh yeah, it's easy to say, but how do you trust? How do you trust? Well, Psalm 16 is a song of trust where David places his confidence in God despite the difficulties that he was going through. And this situation, actually, in the Psalms, we find that David is fighting two big pressures. People worshiping false God and the reality of death. Those are the two things that David is fighting here. But I wanted to share with you three things from the scripture, thinking about Psalm 16. And I entitled this, "That is a truth for me," and I hope it will be a truth for you. I put the title of this message, "Secure and Satisfied in God." Secure and Satisfied in God. Nowadays, you guys in America and around the world, we're living in uncertainty times. Just not go too far. I mean, a few weeks ago, we saw what happened to Charlie Kirk. Nobody was expecting that. I mean, we are looking now and we're looking news overseas, what's going into the feeds about America, and it's like, what is going on there? What is going on in America? And you guys are living here and you have to deal with this suffering. You probably read the prayer letters from missionaries which has prayed tonight about what's going on in Venezuela and different countries. You know, it's like you look around, it's like, what is going on? How are we going to deal with these transitions? How are we going to deal with these situations that are going on in our lives, around the world, in our context? How are we going to deal with this? Trust, secure, and satisfy in God. Let me share with you three truths that are very important. In times of despair, in times of fear, just speak truth into your mind. That's the key here tonight. We need to speak truth, the truth of the Word of God, because out there are lies. The devil wants to put a lot of lies. He's the prince of lies. You know, so David, the first thing that he does dealing with transition is saying this. Look with me, verse 1 through 4, say, "Preserve me, O God." The word "preserve me" means keep, guard me, O God, for in you I take refuge. Look at the perspective right there. David is saying, God is my secure refuge in the midst of my circumstances. He's saying this. He says, God is my secure refuge in the midst of my circumstances. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. See, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are excellent ones in whom is all my delights. The sorrows of those who ran after another God shall multiply their drink offering of blood and will not pour out or take their name on my lips. Under this truth that God, that David is saying, God is my secure refuge in the midst of circumstances, David here pleads a real true declaration of trust. Number one, he said, you know, he declared that the trust is in the Lord. He declares in verse 1, his trust is in the Lord. The opening line implies uncertainty. He doesn't know what is going on. He is probably in the desert. He's probably been persecuted. It's a miktam of David. It's a song We don't know exactly what is going on in his life, but he's going through a tough time, and he declared his trust in the Lord. Even though he goes through uncertain circumstances, he knows that he has a refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord, in thee I take refuge. Can you say that tonight? When you are going through a tough time, can you say, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know something is true. He is my refuge. He is the place that I can come with confidence and just be guard because I will be protected. I will be secure because he will preserve me. In him I'll take refuge. He declares his trust in the Lord. In verse number two, he declares he's satisfied only in the Lord. Look at how he's building up this truth in his mind. God is my secure refuge in the midst of my circumstances. So I understand that God is, in God I put my trust, but also I am satisfied in him. Look, verse 2. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. The result of his trust is that he is satisfied in him. See, when we trust in the Lord, we can be satisfied in the Lord. Because, you see, you can go out and nothing satisfied. We were last week in a college. We were in BJU University, and we were in chapel. And Dr. Crockett just shared about something about Ecclesiastes. I think it was chapter 6, that nothing in life satisfies. And you see, Solomon goes through every aspect that he tried to be satisfied, and nothing satisfies. We see people today trying to find satisfaction in their jobs, satisfaction in relationships, satisfaction in careers, satisfaction in different things, and nothing satisfies. Because the only one that can do that is the Lord. It's the Lord. And he said here, you know, God is my refuge because I am satisfying him. I just come under this protection from God and I just can feel satisfied. And that's happened when we really have intimacy with the Lord. One thing, folks, I've been learning, and, you know, the hard way as a Christian, you know, it's like when we go through tough times, it's the most that we have to take advantage of it. God will never, you know, he will never take away any of the situations that we're going through. He will use them. He will use every situation. And he said, David here, he said, I am satisfied in the Lord. He is speaking into his own soul. I have no good apart from you, Lord. And also another thing that he declares in verse 3 is that his delight is with God's people. That's another aspect when we think about God is my refuge in the midst of circumstances. Why? Because when we are going through transitions, when we are going through tough time, God uses his chosen children to encourage his chosen children. Very important. So Christian life, we cannot walk alone. We need encouragement from fellow Christians. We need prayers with fellow Christians. We need to create that culture of unity and community. That's what we try to do in the mission field in our church. Create organically those times, providing those times that we can just share one another's burdens. And David here said, you know, verse 3, as for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Better translation, you know, he's using here for the two sides. He said, I acknowledge the saints and I delight in them and I have fellowship with the believers. I have fellowship with the believers. And that's a thing that I've been learning. You know, I'm not trying to bear my burdens alone. Trying to find somebody that you can pray with when you're going through a tough time. Be also on the lookout in the church. Who is going through a tough time? Who can I encourage today? Maybe somebody on Sunday just come and you see that person just seems like it's not connecting. Just be aware That person might be having some problems. Just try to connect and just go, hey, how can I pray for you? How can I be a blessing to you? Because those are the things that the Lord is actually using for us to be encourage us and to encourage others. God is our refuge in the midst of circumstances. And so number 2, verse 5 through 8, we see the second truth here. And say, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. And the night also my heart instructed me. I love verse number 7. And I can make a few comments in just a moment. But it's the key to me of the chapter. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. And the night also my heart instructed me. What is it saying, David, here, verse 5 through 8? Second truth, God is my delight in the present. God not only is my refuge in the midst of my circumstances, but also God is my delight in the present. How hard it is to delight in the Lord when we're going through a tough time. My tendency in my heart is like, why, Lord? Why you're doing this to me? I don't deserve it, Lord. Why with me? But remember, God is working. God is working. And David here is able, trusting God, trusting in his care, trusting that God will protect David to accomplish the plans of God wants for David. He said, God is my delight. Notice with me, verse 5, we see that David is content with having the Lord. Content with having the Lord. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. David is content with having the Lord. He rejoices in the giver, not in the gift. You see, sometimes we are very content and we're happy when the Lord granted us our prayer request, when he gave us the things that we want. But what happened when the Lord just delayed those requests? What happened? So the Lord wants us to be content, whatever will be our situation. Remember the Apostle Paul, he said, I have learned to be content, whether in abundance, whether in riches or in lack of things, I have learned to be content. That is a process. And I think that the Lord will use difficult situations to develop that Christian character in us, the art of being content. Even when I don't see a solution right away, just to be content. And David was content with the Lord. He said, you are my portion. You know, that probably can refer to different things, food, land, daily needs, you know. But he said, David, you are my portion. You are my food. You are what I need. I am content with you. I might not have what I want in the other aspects, but I have you, Lord. I have you, and that is enough for me. You know, nowadays, folks, you just look around here, and you see the people, they might have cars, fancy cars, they might have houses, they might have a good bank account. But in the end, you see that they are empty. That's why we got the problems that we got. Because people are seeking one thing after another, after another, after another, and nothing seems to be satisfied. And when you get into the way of what people are pursuing, that you get in trouble. And so that's why David said, God is my delight in the present. Content with the Lord. But also verse number 6, David is content with the Lord's provision as well. Verse 6, the lines have fallen for me in the pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. That can be a mention unto the promised land. Could be. We don't know exactly what is he saying here. But he is content with the Lord's provision. He is content with what God has given to him. Let me ask a question tonight to think about it. Are you content with your current situation? Whatever it might be. Are you content with what you have? Sometimes we look around, it's like, wow, Lord, you know, I just work harder than that person, like Psalm 73. I'm doing better than this person. And look, I have to work double, and I have to do this, I have to do that. I don't deserve this. But David is content. David is content with the Lord's provision. Verse number 7, God is my delight in the present, means that he is worshiping the Lord with all his presence guidance. I bless the Lord. He doesn't say I will bless or I bless it past. Do it now. I bless the Lord right now in the present. Even though I'm going through a tough time, a transition in my life where I don't know what's going to happen, where I'm fearful about it, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. You see, the Lord always will bring the counsel to us. And he will instruct in us. Always there is a teaching moment for the believer in the sight of God. God will never waste a grain of suffering in our lives. I think it was Pastor Piper said that. God will never waste just a tiny grain of suffering. He will use everything in our lives to bring us into the image of Christ. So don't think in your life sometimes, you know, when we go through tough time, like, what a waste of time, you know. God will use it. God will use it. And it's a time for worshiping, acknowledging who is this God that I really trust. That's why very important truth is tonight. God is my refuge. That's a truth number one to speak to ourselves. God is my refuge in the midst of circumstances. Number two, God is my portion and my present. I delight in the present with God. I delight in God. I worship in him. And verse 8, worshiping God means that he decided to keep the Lord at the center of his life. I have set the Lord always before me. Wow. What a statement he's able to say. I have set the Lord always before me. Under pressure, we often try to fill our lives with created things, not with the Creator. But David here shows us how to delight in the Lord by being content with his God. And so are us. We have to go that way. And then the last truth here, God is my source of joy and eternal hope. That's another truth that we find in verse number 9 through 11. God is my source of joy and eternal hope. See, God is my refuge. God is my delight. God is my source of joy and eternal hope. See, those truths bring us together, you know, to rejoice in God for what he's doing. You see, therefore, my heart is glad. You see, first, as a Christian, I think, you know, we are oftentimes, we're more prone to be looking at, what do I have to do? The imperatives in the scripture. We're looking all the times imperatives. What to do, what to do, what to do. Before what to do, before we look at the imperative, start looking into the indicatives in the scripture. What this passage is telling me about my God. Because what you believe about your God is what you're going to be doing. If you don't trust in God, if you are afraid, so then you're going to act that way. Fearful. David here understood the indicatives. He is my refuge. He is my portion. I delight on him. So now he is the source of my joy. I can, no matter what I'm going through in life, I can be joyful. It's tough. It's not easy. But God is the source of my joy and eternal hope. Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. He has hope beyond circumstances. Let me tell you, I didn't have the opportunity to hear much about this fellow brother in Christ that he's with the Lord, Charlie Kirk. I didn't follow him in social media and stuff like that. I just came aware a few weeks ago with all of what happened, you know. But I tell you, if I would have met him and I would have asked, hey, what happened if you died today? You know his testimony. Right there when he got shot, his eternal hope was with the Lord. Can we say that tonight, all of us? No matter what happened to me, no matter what I'm going through, my hope is secure in Christ. It's with that hymn that we sing. My hope is in the Lord. La, ra, 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 ra. See, my hope is in the Lord. What are we hoping today? When I hear Christians say, well, I hope things change, Pastor, and, you know, in South America, I think with the new government, things will change. Guys, things will not change. Things will get better. Bad. Will get better for us because we'll go to heaven. The Lord is coming. So I wanted to encourage you tonight, when you're going through a tough time like all of us do in life with different things, just remember Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is a psalm of trust. Trust. I need you to trust the Lord. I don't know what is going to happen. I don't know what this is going to turn, but God is going to use it. God is going to use it in my life. God is going to use it in somebody else's life. And I know for sure tonight I can be secure in Him and satisfied. Secure and satisfied. Are you secure in Christ? He made it possible in the cross for you to be secure. Are you satisfied in Christ? I hope you do. I hope your intimacy with the Lord grows and grows each and every day. How? Have intimacy with Him. A vibrant relationship. When you open your scriptures, just look for an indicative. This is the God that I worship. He is my God. He is my refuge. I experience this in daily life. I love the Lord. May the Lord encourage us, folks, in the days ahead. And we're looking forward to continue reporting, continue the partnership with you. And if we have a few minutes afterwards, we can just chat more about the ministry, any questions you have. But I was certainly so glad to be here tonight for a short time. But we want to just make the point to stop here, to greet you, to see you, to hug you guys, and just to just say thank you for your faithful support, for your prayers. Thank you for helping us out with the situation with the car as well, renting the car. We are so grateful for that too. And just I'm really grateful to be able to be partners with you in the ministry and your way. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for this wonderful family that you unite us a while ago to become partners for the gospel. We just pray that we will continue and honoring you, Lord, as we sharing the gospel, evangelizing the lost, such as in Uruguay, Lord, as well, these my dear fellow believers in Ann Arbor, in the surrounding areas. Just pray that your kingdom will be further, Lord, and we just pray that until you tarry, you will find us faithful, and you will find us to be the kind of Christians that love you, that live for you, and just to honor and glorify you in everything we do. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, folks. Amen.
Mariano, thank you a million times over. May God bless you and your family.